As many of you know, I wear the robes I do for the symbols they say. But today is different. As I stand up here, you remember the stole is a symbol of the eldership of my ministry. Today, it's not the elder I want you to see. The robes represent the fact that I'm a priest, that what you should hear from me should be from the Word of God and not look at me as a person. But today, I don't want you to see the priest. I want you to see the man. You know, if you put this on side, right side up, it always works better. Also, you're going to see that I'm human. Which means today, though I'm still and have been tried to be the slave of Christ, I wasn't always. I want you to step into my world. And right now, I want you to step back with me into the 90s when I was a young man. When I asked the question, is it impossible to forgive? Come with me. Because today you're going to hear a drama, an audio drama of what actually took place.
Hey, Grandma. I had to come to see you. I heard you weren't feeling good. Don't try to talk. It's okay. I'm on my way to work, but I had to come by and see you.
Excuse me. Could you step out for just a minute?
Yeah. Just a second. I gotta step out for a minute. I'll see you soon. I love you, Grandma. Hello?
Did you hear? I can't believe it.
Can't believe what?
Didn't you hear about the nurse that killed all those people in the hospital?
Of course. It's horrible.
I was contacted by the investigating officer. They believe he killed Grandma Sally.
What? Are you sure?
Yes. They said how she died matched his M.O.
Huh.
You were there when she died, right?
Yes.
I think they'll be contacting you to take a statement. They're going to want to know what you saw that day.
The LA Times reported that something strange appeared to be going on inside the weathered concrete walls of the country hospital. In the early 90s, deaths in the four-bedroom intensive care unit ranged from 24 to 31 annually. In 1994, that number jumped to 101, although admissions remain roughly at the same level. Similar hospitals elsewhere in Indiana posted no such increases. End quote. In a 22-month period, Orville Lynn Majors was suspected of killing between 100 and 165 elderly patients. After most of the damaging evidence was thrown out of court, never to be seen by the jury, he was convicted of 6 murders and sentenced to 360 years in jail. There were those who still alive who will say that nothing ever happened, but only a few. What I believe is that he killed my grandmother. He was never taken to trial on that account, so I have to say that he was allegedly murdered. that she wasn't proven that she was killed by him, but my heart tells me, and the evidence of what the police officers say, said that he killed my grandmother. He asked me to step out, and my wife, so that he could inject her and end her life. We lived in a small rural town, just a little bigger than Selma. Things like this, they're not supposed to happen. Yeah, we know bad things happen, right? We got jerks in town. But a serial killer, really? I was angry. I was grieved. I just didn't know what all I was feeling, what all I was doing. At the time, I was studying to go into ministry, and I'd been a pastor, been studying to be a pastor, and knowing what it's supposed to be like to be going to Christian ministry, but all I was feeling was hate and anger and murder. I wanted to kill the man. I might add, there are some people that said, oh, nothing ever happened. In fact, a personal family friend said that. But admittedly, if you hired the guy, you wouldn't want to admit that you hired a serial killer. I was so angry. I wanted to kill the man, but I knew he wasn't worth going to jail over. So in my mind, what I wanted to do was volunteer to be there if he got the death penalty, to push the button to end his life. Okay, to kill him. Just to be honest, that's what I was feeling. But I knew this wasn't right. You know, I thought and I taught a little bit about how to forgive and about the Bible says forgive those who've done wrong to you. I found out that I didn't know a thing. I remember the wisdom of a dying sage who said, don't give in to the dark side, for it will forever taint your destiny. That's Star Wars, if you haven't figured that out. Yeah, even Yoda can give a Christian advice if you're willing to listen. I knew that I could not hold on to this anger. I knew the Bible says I needed to forgive, but I tell you, I couldn't. I didn't think it was in me. And I don't know, some of you today may be in the same place. I hope not. Where something has happened in your past, you're just not, you seem like you can't let go of it. And I'll be honest, I didn't know where to begin. I didn't know what to do. And part of me didn't want to let go. I wanted to be angry. If you wondered if it's possible you can be free, here's a spoiler. Yes, it is. But I want to let you know that forgiveness at times feels impossible. But you can have freedom from anger and unforgiveness. But I want to tell you something. It's not easy. It's not easy. Jesus never said the Christian life would be easy. But he would say it's worthwhile. Since then, I've learned that studies have shown that forgiveness or holding on to unforgiveness is destructive to our own bodies. It hurts us, not the people we're angry at. But yet we seem to do it, don't we, as people? It's difficult. But Jesus promised if you'll be willing to take up your cross and follow him, that it would be worth it. So Jesus taught me, God taught me how to forgive. The thing about it, once I look back, I could see everything he was talking about to my heart in the scriptures. By the time, I knew what I needed to do, but it wasn't in me. In fact, like I said, I don't know if I was wanting to. Well, I was going to try to get that to work. It's on strike today. The question we have to ask ourselves, and the question God asked me, is, are you willing to forgive? And when I went to God in prayer and was talking about my anger and my bitterness, let me tell you something. If you're angry and upset with somebody, you might as well admit it to God. He knows it anyway. He knows what you're feeling, so you might as well tell him. And I went to God and said, God, I hate this man. I want to kill him. I know this isn't right, but Lord, I'd really like to kill him. It's like, would you please give me a chance? Well, I knew better as a pastor, as a future pastor. I knew better. But that's what I was feeling. And God asked me a question. Are you willing? And I told God, God, I'm not able. You notice I'm not answering the question. I'm not able to forgive. It's not in me, God. Are you willing? But God, sometimes I'll be honest, I'm a little slow. God was like, are you willing? That wasn't a big audible speaking voice that was scared me to death. It was just in my heart. Are you willing? And finally I said, God, I know I ought to be. Yeah, that isn't very resounding, is it? I know I ought to be willing, Lord. But Lord, if you're able to give it to me, I'll do it. And here's the thing that I found out. It's the turning point. If you're willing, that's where God can take you and do something great. If you're just willing, God can change you. If you're not willing, he can't do anything because you just won't let him in. There's a Jewish proverb, and it sounds a little bit like something Jesus said. You might say, remember it. It says, if you give God the opening the size of a needle. So remember, pretend I'm holding a needle this morning. It's one of those props I forgot to get. You know, that whole eye of the needle, you know, like, yeah, nothing's coming through there. Maybe a thread, if you're lucky. If you're me, you give it to your wife to thread. But the Bible, the Jewish proverb says, if you give God the opening the side of the needle, through it, he will bring houses and tents and camels. Thing is, are we willing? We have to be willing. Julius Caesar said, it's easier to find men willing to volunteer to die than defy those who are willing to endure pain with patience. And let me tell you something. Learning to forgive and wanting to learn to let go is sometimes like pain with patience. It hurts. It's not fun. It's uncomfortable. And there are some people who would prefer to die than forgive. But that's okay, because if you hold on to unforgiveness, it will scientifically kill you. The proof's out there. And the Bible says it kills you spiritually. Some people say, I don't want to forgive him. I don't want to let that guy off. Well, let me tell you something. You're not letting the other person off if you forgive. You're letting yourself off. Because most of the time when you're upset and when you're angry, the other person doesn't give a care. Or worse, they might be happy. Because they're controlling you. And they don't deserve that power in your life. That's why God tells us to forgive. Because God wants to get us off the hook. He wants to set us free. But if you're willing, God can change you. Forgiveness is sometimes like, I'll be honest, it's some like telling the doctor, go ahead and cut off the arm. Because you know if you leave it on, you'll lose your whole body. You'll die. And so you're saying, okay, God, okay, take it off, doc. Take it off. I don't want to lose it. I don't want to lose a leg. But if I don't, I'm going to die. So take it off. Nobody signs up for that surgery, do they? Hey, I just want to lose my arm today. I won't lose my leg today. No. You have to face that choice. It's a hard one. And sometimes letting go of forgiveness is like that. You're gritting your teeth and saying, I don't want to, but I know I need to. There are some people out there who make forgiveness something light and easy. Oh, just say, I forgive you, I let it go. I don't know what kind of troubles they faced, but I'm glad they have such an easy life. I wouldn't wish my problems on them. For most of us, it's tough. It's hard. And maybe you're like me, you're in some ways you're not really wanting to do it. This was true for me. But that's when God again spoke to my heart. And again, it's not them loud, audible things. It's just in my spirit. God says, do you want this man to go to hell for eternity? Yeah, actually, I do, God. How many know that's not the right answer from a Christian point of view? And I knew that. So again, I'd say, God, I know I shouldn't. And then I thought about it. You know, eternity is a long time. So no, God, I don't want him to go to hell for eternity. A few thousand years, things like that, but not eternity. No, eternity is a long time. I didn't tell you I was very spiritual here, people. God was taking me from a place, a very broken place. And God said, pray that he doesn't go to hell for eternity. Dear Lord, I don't want Orville and Majors to spend eternity in hell. Dear Father, forgive me, I've lied. I felt like I was lying afterwards, but I prayed it. And I prayed it. And I prayed it. And every time I heard something, again, I prayed it. And when I felt angry again, I prayed it. Lord, I do not want Overland Majors to spend eternally in hell. Lord, I don't want him. And it felt like a mantra. But amazing things started happening. After a time, and I do mean a time, it got easy. And I actually meant it. I did not want him to spend eternity in hell. And I was feeling pretty good about myself. I'm coming along good here. Well, then God speaks to my heart. He says, well, if he's not going to go to hell, where is he going? Well, as Protestants, it's heaven or hell, and you can't miss both. So if he's not going to hell, then he's going to... Yeah, that's what I figured out too. So in one sense, I was already praying that God, I want him to go to heaven, right? But you know, there's a whole lot of difference from praying, God, I want somebody not to go to hell, and start praying, Lord, I want him to go to heaven. So once again, I knew what I needed to do. And I started praying, God, I want Orville Majors to go to heaven. And then once again, I felt like praying, Lord, forgive me, I have lied. But I prayed, and I prayed, and I kept praying. And then sometimes I would hear things. Trial was going on, and where discovery was taking place, and the entire numbers, and how many people were being killed were being found out. And all of a sudden, I had to go back to, Lord, I don't want him to spend eternity in hell, because I could not pray the other. Then I get better, and then I was back to the Lord. I want Orville Majors to be in heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but you may already see what's coming here. Thankfully, maybe I didn't realize it. After it got easier, God spoke to my heart again. Said, well, if he's going to be in heaven, what does that mean? Well, that means that he's accepted Christ, the Savior, and he's a new person. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's good stuff, right? That has nothing to do with me, right? And then God's like, come on. Well, by this time, I'd figured it out, okay? I wasn't completely stupid. I'd figured out where God was going. It's like, oh. I knew what God wanted me to pray. God, I want Overland Majors to become a Christian. I want him to become my brother in Christ. Dear Father, I've lied again. That's the way I felt. I wish I could say that I was doing great and I just let it go. I've heard some people say that they've just let it go and they were doing better. I wasn't that person. I heard the story of, you know how I told you I always forget names? Her name isn't in my notes, and I decided to go off script, and I forgot her name. Eva Kaur. She was a Nazi Holocaust survivor. Her and her twin sister were tortured by Joseph Mengele, and she knew came to a point in her life she knew she had to forgive him. So she said he had, of course, by that time had died. So she pictured him standing before her. She told him everything she thought about him, and then she said, "And I choose to forgive you." That wasn't me. Me, I had to pray, and it took long, long time. But amazing thing happened. I started praying, "Lord, I want Overland Rangers to become my brother." And then I started praying this, "Lord, I want Overland Majors to be my brother in Christ. I want to be able to go up in heaven, wrap my arms around him, and say, I'm glad you're here." And the amazing thing about it was, I wasn't lying. I really, honestly felt it. In fact, in the last few years, I got the news that Overland Majors died in prison. And the first thought that came to my head, no thanks to me, because God did all this work in my heart, was, "Lord, I hope he got to be saved. I hope, Lord, he's turned his life to you. I hope he made it to heaven." Here's the thing about it was, releasing this to God set me free. Before, when I would think of him, all sorts of stuff would raise up within me. And there are times that I would just focus on the things he had done that would have had impacted my life. But when God got me to that place where I was able to let it all go to him, I was free. Yes, he was part of my life, but it was part of the past. He wasn't walking with me day by day. He wasn't in me, corrupting my heart and my thoughts. And that's the thing. And it all started because I was willing to say, "God, yes, I'm willing." Actually, like I said, at first it was just, "Lord, I know I ought to be." It's sort of like the guy who, when Jesus said, "All things are possible if you believe," and the guy said, "I believe, but help my unbelief." And what did Jesus say? "Come back later when you figure it out." No, he healed him. He healed his boy. And that's the thing. If we're willing, God can change our hearts. It's not going to be easy. I'm not going to say it well. I pray it is. I pray it's easier for you. And maybe the way I've described it to you won't work for you. But let me tell you something. Jesus says that we're to pray for our enemies, right? Yeah. Why? Because if you're praying for somebody, if you're wishing good for somebody, you can't stay angry with them. That's the whole reason why God says that. Because he knows if we're consumed with anger and bitterness, we'll be destroyed. And God doesn't want us down that path. How much is it that God says that important it is that we forgive? He says, if you're not willing to forgive others, you won't be forgiven. That's harsh, it seems like. But the problem is, if we're not willing to give it, we're not going to be able to receive it. It's like saying, "Yes, I want that. but holding your hand out saying no. If you refuse to let things go, if you're not even willing, then you're cutting off your blessing from God. Now let me tell you something. Forgiveness doesn't mean you, after you've conquered it, you're okay and you never have any problems. I got to that place where I was able to pray, Lord, I want him to heaven. I want to wrap my arms around him. And then when my little girl was doing something special, and though we call her Azzy, because that's the name she likes to go by, her nickname, her given name was Elizabeth. My grandmother's name was Sarah Elizabeth. And so when my Elizabeth did something that I knew my grandma Elizabeth would love, my heart hurt. My heart ached. And that night I had to go back and say, God, I don't want that turkey to go to hell forever. And I know this is not a right attitude, God, but that's all I can give you today. Because, Lord, I'm hurt and I'm angry because she never able to see her. And though I didn't feel God's presence wrap his arms around me, I know today he did. And he walked with me. And I gave it to God. And here's the thing. When things happen in our lives, something may happen to try to stir things up. The thing about it is, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to nurse that old bitterness back to health? Or are we going to pull it? Our life is like a garden. You don't have, have you ever noticed in your gardens, those of you who planted them this year, you didn't have to plant any weeds? At least I hope none of you planted weeds. If you do, see Dennis, because maybe he's got a cure for you, because I have no clue what to say to you. But you don't have to plant weeds. They come up. So what do you do? You have to deal with them. And you have a choice. You're either going to have to pull them, or you let them grow. And if you let them grow, you may get what I got one time. I saw this little tree growing behind a bush, and I thought, I'm not going to fool with it right now. And later I went back, and it's like, ooh, that's got pretty big. I don't want to fool with it today. And then I came back later, and all of a sudden, I had a mess to clean up. Before I could have just grabbed it and gone, pfft. Now all of a sudden, I'm grabbing a shovel and an axe because this little tree turned into something monstrous. You can deal with a problem in your life, and you can have victory. But a new acorn, a new seed of something can grow. Somebody may say something, maybe to try to get it to grow in your life. And you have a choice. Are you going to let it grow? Or are you going to pull it? But it is your choice. Because here's the thing. If you're willing, God is able. After a time, I felt pretty good about myself. I thought, God, I've forgiven a serial killer, a man who murdered my grandmother. Lord, I can handle anything. Never, 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 never say, I can handle anything. Because unfortunately, there are things worse than a murderer. When family or friends or people you trust do something horrible to you, stab you in the back, murder's easy. My father, I found out, had done some things, and it just cut me to the core. When that stuff was going on, my mom came to me and she said, he's going to file for a divorce and taking off to another country. And I had to look at my mom and said, don't fight it. Because she was going to fight it because she thought, I don't believe in divorce. I said, don't fight it. You have grounds. And she said, what happened? What do you do? And I said, don't ask me. To this day, she's never heard what all happened. I think she has some ideas, but we don't talk about that. And I don't like to remember it. But all of a sudden, I had to say, Lord, I don't want my father to spend eternity in hell. But part of me, Lord, would like to throw him there. Yeah, I was, like I said, I'm not saying I've always been great people. And I find out more and more, and it's like, but I knew I had to let go of it. The thing is, this time I knew what I had to do. And I followed the same process. Lord, I don't want him to spend eternity in hell. Lord, I want him saved. You say, did everything work out? Did everything get back together? Were you fully reconciled? No. We're going to be talking about forgiveness and reconciliation later. This is your tag to go to the next service. Talk a little bit more then. No, we never did reconcile, and things never did get make right. But something got right in here. So that again, this last year, and it's been just within the last year, when I got word that my father passed away, my thought was, God, I hope he got saved. I hope he really, really was changed. So that I can wrap my arms around my dad in heaven and say, I'm glad you made it. Forgiveness isn't impossible if you're willing. Forgiveness is there if you want it. And let me tell you something, it's worth it. It's worth it. One last story. Not my own. Corrie ten Boom said that she had trouble with someone. The person was, had, she had come out of Nazi concentration camp. She had, her sister had died there. And all of a sudden, as she was teaching other people about forgiveness, a man came up to her and said, ah, Fraulein, isn't it so good that God washes our sins away? And all of a sudden, she saw one of the SS guards that had stood there looking over her and her sister as they were in the shower rooms and laughing and mocking them. And she, who says, who had taught forgiveness, all of a sudden just stood there as he had his hand out ready to shake. And she prayed, God, I can't. I can't. And finally she said, God, you have to give it to me. Give me your love. And all of a sudden, without realizing it, she had her hand out. And she said, when she took his hand, he said, his hand was thrust out to mine. And I who preached so often to people for the need to forgive, kept my hand at my side. She said, even as the anger of vengeful thoughts boiled through me, I saw in the sin of them. Jesus Christ had died for this man. Was I going to ask for more? She prayed, Lord, forgive me and help me to forgive him. I tried to smile, she said. I struggled to raise my hand, but I could not. I felt nothing, not the slightest spark of warmth or charity. So again, I prayed in silence. Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give your forgiveness. As I took the hand, the most incredible thing happened. From my shoulder, along my arm, through my hand, a current seemed to pass from me to him. And into my heart sprung a love for this stranger that almost overwhelmed me. And so I discovered that it's not on our own forgiveness any more than our goodness that the world healing hinges, but on his. He tells us to love our enemies, she said, but he gives us, along with the command, the love itself. And that's the thing. If you're willing, God is willing to give you the love you don't have. So today, let's think about that as we sing together, I am loved. because you are loved, and God wants you to show that love to the world around you. And sometimes it's going to be hard. Let me tell you something. It's going to be worth it. And now, Father, as we leave this place, I ask, Lord, that you fill each heart with a willingness to forgive and walk with them, Lord, as they face the challenges of this world, and let them show forth your love and your grace to the world around us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God bless you. Go with God. See you at noon.